Clouds without water. You know, what a useless cloud. I mean, hey, you know, it's nice on a... I immediately come to my mind, if you're ever in a baseball game, wow, clouds but no rain, that's great. But from the perspective of an agrarian, you know, farmer type mindset, the purpose of the cloud is to bring rain. So it's like, it's not giving, it blocks out the light, but does not give rain. That's what they're like. They keep the light of truth from shining. And that, but neither do, I mean, but there's the early, the Lord sends the early and the latter rain. But these clouds just block out the sun and do not do anything to water the ground. Trees whose fruit withereth, dried up, decayed, corrupted fruit. Imagine the fruit on the tree is all moldy and old and withered, or it doesn't even come to ripeness, you know. It withers away while it's still not yet ripe. Never gets there because there's no water. You know, my mind runs to Jeremiah chapter 17, and it says, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, for he will be like the heath in the desert, and who has no water, and will not see when good comes." Because, you know, and blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. He will be like a tree by the rivers of waters. You know, will not see when tough times come. And I mean in the things of the Spirit. We want to be fruitful in the things of Spirit. We want to be fruitful in godliness, fruitful in righteousness, fruitful in all good things, and those things which are honorable, those things which are profitable unto godliness. Those are the things we want to profit in, we want to bear fruit in. We want to bear the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of righteousness, and the peaceable fruit. But whatever fruit they might have bared shrivels up before it comes to maturity. So he talks about their fruit as being withered, and then he says, without fruit. Twice dead. Fruit withered, no fruit. Dead twice. Why? Because it's like they were dead. But then they find Jesus. But then in their corruption, they're dead again. Twice dead. Plucked up by the roots. Uprooted. Every plant which my Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. They're like raging waves of the sea, which means wild. Foaming out their own shame is, foaming? Foam. You know, like the foam of the sea. Lots of noise. You know, I think it's just saying these are like the tossed to and fro. You know, I think James talked about, you know, tossed to and fro. Actually, I think Paul also used a similar analogy. But I guess I'm thinking of, you know, James when he talks about, you know, he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. It's chapter 6 of James. And there's the idea of wavering from the faith. Not so much as having doubt or something, wavering in the sense of like, I don't know if this Christ thing is really for me. That kind of wavering. Not so much the wavering, oh God, help my unbelief. Oh God, what am I doing here? Wandering stars. This is actually the only place this occurs. Planetes, where we get our word planet. Isn't it amazing all the stuff that comes out of Greek? Just like the word I mentioned about raging was agri, which is like where we get agricultural. But it also has this idea of like natural or wild. out in the country, so to speak. So when I'm applying it to the waves of the sea, it's angry waves. But wandering stars, you know, like the planets, they're not fixed in their positions, so to speak. As the, you know, we know the stars move, but in your lifetime, you'll never notice the stars moving. I mean, they move every night, but, you know, I mean, in their relative positions, one to another, they stay in their positions. Well, the planets were looked on as like these wandering stars. These stars that did not have a fixed place. They were here, they were there, they were everywhere. And these, so they also do not have a fixed place in the scheme of things with God. I mean, they're not a part of his body. They're not a part of his church. But then, in a sense, like I said, they've sort of taken over the church. And so the whole church, as people look at it, is in total chaos and disarray. It's all over the place. You know, this unity that the scriptures talk about in the faith is a farce in our modern world. The idea of Christian unity is sort of like that. They try to figure out, how are we going to do this? But then understand, it's like God. It's almost like in the Tower of Babel, you know. Now that the wicked had taken over, what? Let us confound their religion, lest they do this thing, and then there nothing be held back from them. Imagine if, in the name of Christ, they all went forth as one to do their wickedness. Oh, can you imagine the harm? I think it's somewhat dissipated by the fact that they're divided. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? That is the reservation of all the wicked. The blackness of darkness. What is the blackness of darkness? You know, is it like, oh, it's dark out? No, it's just... just think about what it's like when you sleep and you don't dream. That's the darkest dark. The blackest black. The unconscious. Because even a blind man has light. You know, even a deaf person, look like Helen Keller, and there's a person who had light in their life, though she could not see, though she could not hear. Yet, in her heart, things became built up, you know, she had a life. So the just taking away the senses of sight and sound does not bring blackness in the truest sense. When you're unconscious, when you black out like that, I mean, I close my eyes. I'm not blacked out. I'm just closing my eyes. But black, the darkness of blackness forever is the unconscious state